Hello, boys and girls of Credit Union Land, and welcome to episode 60 of the CU Insight Experience. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Co-op Financial Services. Co-op is your trusted payments processing partner whose mission it is to drive the credit union movement forward. My name is Randy Smith. I am one of the co-founders of CUinsight.com, and it is my job on the show to have conversations with the best and the brightest of the credit union community. I get to pick their brains and see if we can't find a few nuggets that we can all learn from. My guest on today's show is Maria Lavelle. Maria is the president and CEO of FEEPL Federal Credit Union in Pennsylvania. If you've been around the credit union movement, you probably know of Maria. She's been on the Cross-State Credit Union Board, the CUNA board, other foundations and boards throughout her career. This was a fun conversation. We talked about why it's so important to be involved beyond the community that the credit union is in the greater credit union movement, how her credit union benefits from that, and how she does as a CEO. We also talked about small credit unions and mentors and how important they are and how important it is to be one, and a ton of great leadership lessons that Maria has learned along the way. I truly enjoyed this conversation with Maria and look forward to the next time our paths cross, a couple of introverts who are play credit union extroverts. So as always, we wrap it up with the rapid fire questions and have a little bit of fun. So without further ado, I give you my conversation with Maria Lavelle. Enjoy. Maria, welcome to the show.
I'm super excited. Thank you very much.
This should be a lot of fun. You know, doing some homework on the old interwebs for our conversation, I noticed how involved you were in the credit union system, not only on, you know, at your credit union in your community, but on the state level and the national level. You also appear to be an advocate for small credit unions. So I'd like to start there with a couple of broad questions. Number one, why is it so important for you to be involved outside of your community, you know, whether it's in the state, you know, in the overall system? And I would add to that, how does your credit union benefit from your involvement, say, nationally? And then, you know, I mean, really, what challenges are you seeing in the small credit union landscape?
I think the involvement is that I've always believed that the movement is bigger than my credit union. So getting involved on the national level just reinforces your impact, but it also energizes me. You know, I come back with all these ideas just from sitting around the board table with my fellow directors and sharing strategies and sharing insights. I come back all energized thinking we could do so much more. There's so much passion in the credit union movement on the state level, on the national level. And I bring that back and I say, guys, we could have a huger impact and we could do so much more. And it's also very beneficial to me for being a small credit union because I'm sitting around with credit unions from 20 million to 4 billion, and we're sharing strategies and we're sharing ideas, and it just makes us more valuable. And I bring that back. And my board gets that because, especially on a national level, we can't always afford to go to GAC or go to a national conference. And I'm giving that opportunity, and I make sure I'm in every session learning and taking notes and bringing that back and sharing ideas. So it has been very beneficial to the growth and success of my credit union.
A follow-up on that. Was that something your board always was like on board with you on, or was there some teaching, or did they have to, did you have to get them on board, I guess?
I think they learned that in order to keep me energized and to keep me engaged in the credit union, they needed to do a little bit more. They needed to let me do a little bit more. And I think they learned that early on because I don't sit still.
Yep.
I keep pushing and I keep going, and they're like, okay, what can we do to keep her engaged in this credit union? And for 19 years. And so they have done that from me serving on Cross States Board, Cross States Foundation, and then me coming back and say, hey, how about CUNA? I want to try that. So they've learned that that keeps me engaged and excited in the credit union.
Oh, that's fantastic. Are there challenges that you feel are unique to smaller credit unions that you're seeing today? And could you share a few with us if there are?
I think the biggest, and I think a lot of my colleagues would say, is lack of resources.
Yeah.
You know, we have, you know, a larger credit union in Western Pennsylvania that I always call my big brother credit union. because I call them and I say, can I get a policy? And I laugh at the CEO because he says, well, I'll let you talk to our specialist. I'm like, can I get a specialist in something? It's just, you're still, even though we're 82 million, I'm still a lot engaged and involved in the day to day.
Yep.
So it takes time away from me being able to have that strategic focus, those strategic discussions. So those are the challenges that I see.
Last question, I guess, on the idea of looking at the credit union system and the challenges overall. On a national level, you mentioned the CUNA board. Are there challenges that you see just every credit union facing? You know, is there, we talk a lot about disruption, the pace of change. And is there something, I guess, that you like think that credit unions need to fundamentally change to, you know, stay relevant? Or
I don't know if it's fundamentally change. I think it's fundamentally stay the same. What I mean by that is one of the biggest principles that I'm most passionate about is collaboration among cooperatives. So as we change and we compete against one another, we still only have 7% of the market share.
I agree.
So we still need to keep that collaboration. You know, I go to different marketplaces and I hear that, we can't collaborate with that credit union, or I can't reach out to that credit union. And even, you know, in Pennsylvania, you know, Eastern Pennsylvania is completely different than Western Pennsylvania. I think if we lose that, then we lose who we are. So we got to keep that going. We got to keep that energy going.
You are speaking my language. I remember a few years back, and I think I've mentioned it on the podcast. It was fairly early on in CU Insight, but I was asked to judge some marketing awards for Q's. And one of their questions on the form that the credit union submitted was, who's your competition? And I dinged everyone who said another credit union. I'm just like, no, there's 90% market share out there. It's Bank of America, it's whoever. You know, like, so you are speaking my language totally there.
And that is so true, because we have a lot of small credit unions in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. And the largest credit union came in and they built a branch and they did a merger and all that. And I said, guys, like, use them as a resource.
Now that
use them as a resource. We still only got 7% of the market share. I use them as a resource. I look at the PNCs, the local community banks, and I say that's my competition.
Absolutely. Last question in the section. If we're to sit down a year from now, what are you most proud of that you and your team have accomplished, if you broke out that crystal ball?
Well, I am super psyched. We are big in financial literacy, and we are opening our first student branch on a college campus.
Nice.
So we are super excited about it. So if we get through that and success, we get the right team in place, it'll be a proud moment.
Which college, if you don't mind me asking?
Westmoreland Community College. We've been working with them for the last 5 years on joining this partnership. They have done this huge multi-million dollar renovations. So it's all techie and all modern. And they have dedicated a space that they set up for us. So we're super excited.
So is that a branch, like an actual physical branch that you guys are moving into? This is a total scratch my own itch question. So like, are there opportunities for like the students, like interns, things of that nature that are?
Yes, that's part of the agreement. All the team members that we have two internships. One's a management intern. They'll run that branch.
Okay.
One's a marketing intern. It's their job to market that branch. And then we have two part-time MSR positions that are students of the college.
That are all students of the college. Oh, yes. That's pretty cool. Well, and that's a nice talent pool for you as well. So
absolutely. The session planning.
Yeah, there you go. your successor may be coming through that system. Right. There. So right. I'd like to move on to the second part of the show. This is, you know, all about the leadership and the life hacks and what you've learned along the way. I always like to start with, what inspired you to take the gig as president and CEO back in 2001?
I think there's two sides of that. Personally, I come from a low-income, single-parent household.
Okay.
So I watched my mom struggle to make sure we had clean clothes and food on the table, and there were six of us. So it always inspired me to do more and want more, you know, for myself and for my children. And second, you know, I took a job at a credit union and I was a teller, and I walked in the door and I was a teller, and my CEO saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, and he spent a lot of time with me. And then after 5 years, this opportunity presented itself and he said, I think you're ready.
Wow. So you went from teller to CEO in 5 years.
I went from, when I was teller, we have this joke because my second in command used to work with me at this other credit union. He used to always say, never apply for a job if Maria's posting, because she's going to get it. But I went from teller, I was branch manager, branch supervisor, loan officer, I was accounting manager. So with within 5 years.
Just learning the entire credit union.
Right. So I learned the entire credit union. And then this opportunity came up. And back then, we were $18 million credit union with only 5 employees.
Wow.
So my CEO said to me, I think it's time. I think you're ready.
And what does your team look like today in your credit union?
We are 82 million and 43 employees.
Wow. Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. So I love hearing stories like that because it is, we hear so often about the small credit union going away and you're bucking that trend completely. So congratulations to you and your team. How has the inspiration changed with time on the job?
Now I'm more inspired by others. I think my success as a leader is me empowering and growing my team. I spend a lot of time with team development, with young professionals who inspire to be a leader, and also the members that we touch. When I'm out at the mall and I see a member, they came up to me and they said, do you remember me, Maria? You helped me buy my first car and now I'm married and I got 5 kids. You know, I get so geeked about it. I come back and say, how can we do more? How can we do more? And then when I watch one of my, you know, team members who started here, you know, I have a young man who started here at our first student branch as a student teller when he was 16. Today he's 23 and he's controller.
Wow.
So when I watch that growth, then I say, that's what we're here for. So it's kind of paying it forward as my prior CDO did to me, paying it forward. So it's rewarding in itself.
I sent this question to you for later on in the podcast, but I kind of really don't want to pass over it right now. You obviously had a mentor.
I did.
Who was very important in your career. Now it sounds like you're kind of paying that, like you just said, I'm using your words, paying that forward now to the next generation. I guess, like, just to expand on it, what was that relationship like? Was it something you sought out? Was it, I know you mentioned he saw something in you,
He sought it out when I first started there. It was actually a summer teller. I was finishing up my college education and I was working in retail and I said, okay, I need to do something else. So it was like, oh, credit union. What's a credit union? I just learned about that in my finance class in college. So I applied and I became a summer teller. And there was something that he saw in me and he took time with me. He said, okay, I'm going to expose you to many aspects of this credit union. For him, I think he was building his succession. And he spent a lot of time. And then when I came out here and I took the job as credit union, as a CEO, my first 12 months, he came out every month before the board meeting and he said, okay, what's your board packet look like? How are you going to go over it? How to build those board relationships? So he took a lot of time with me. And then unfortunately, he had to retire early due to having Parkinson's.
Okay.
And when his time came up and he said, do you think you want to come back here and take over and be the CEO? I can talk to the board. I was so comfortable in what I was doing. And he was like, you're doing great things there. You're taking that credit into the next level. I think that's the right fit for you. And I completely agreed. And, you know, so I always say Owen Costello is the reason I sit in this chair. And I am forever grateful. And I, like you said, and I said previously, I try to pay it forward.
That is, that's beautiful. I absolutely love that. It's interesting to me, and you're not the first person on the podcast who has talked about a mentor seeing something in them that they didn't even see in themselves. You know, but there's that other side of it too. You were obviously willing to be the sponge who took it all in and took every opportunity as well. So, I mean, that's good stuff there. to kind of circle back, how would you describe your leadership style?
I would say I lead with my heart and I'm a leader for the people. You know, I always look at the impact to my team and the impact to our members. And when I make a decision, I always say, does it feel right? And sometimes, you know, when you got to make those tough decisions, it's a struggle. When you lead with your heart, it is a struggle, but I do that gut check. I got to do that gut check.
That's another question that I've added to the show this second season is that idea of making the tough decision. Is that an ability, I guess, that you've always had? Is it something that you've had to cultivate in yourself over time? Has experience helped? Or is it still just as terrible as it was in the beginning when you have to make that unpopular short-term decision, right?
I think you have it, but you develop it over time. It gets better over time. It's a development process. I think you realize when you sit in the chair of CEO, there's going to be decisions that are going to make you unpopular and there's going to be tough decisions. So I look at, okay, what's the end result? What are we trying to get to? And what's the direct impact today? And I will tell you, there was a time when, you know, the economy went south, you know, everybody experienced it. Credit unions had challenges. corporate stabilization, and it really hit us hard. So it was like, okay, what do we do? And, you know, my board was like, well, maybe we need to, you know, lay off and cut positions. I said, let me play with this. And I came back and said, everybody in the organization is going to take a furlough, including me.
Okay.
So if I'm going to ask my team to do something, I'm going to do the same.
Yep.
So for probably 8 or 9 months, we all, you know, every pay, it was cut by 2 days.
Wow. Okay.
And we did it. And we came through stronger than what we thought and faster than what we thought. So when I was able to stand up there and say, okay, we're back to regular hours, it was a good thing.
That had to be a good feeling too. Right. I'm sure that your plan paid off. As a leader, is there something your team and the people around you have heard you say so many times they can finish your sentence?
Life happens to everyone. Don't judge. When I sit up there and talk about members and the challenges that they're looking or, you know, utilizing overdraft or falling behind on a loan, life happens to all of us and we cannot judge. So how can we help?
I absolutely love that. That was something when Bill Cheney was on the podcast. We actually recorded it at the Acosta conference in Mombasa, Kenya. But he was talking about like the second chance and things like that. Chairman Hood was just talking about second chance loans. You know, I mean, the idea that we all have those. Most of us have a hiccup along our way, and I love that. So not to judge, show some empathy, right? So, is there a common myth about leadership that you would love to debunk?
That I think that we need to know it all. I think you get in this position and think you have to know it all. And I've also found that I surround myself with people that make up my weaknesses and be okay with that. Don't get, because sometimes you get protective or you think job security or you're going to protect all this information. Get out the way and surround people that make up your weaknesses and be okay with that. And surround yourself with different minded people. Not everybody should think like you.
Yeah.
Accept the differences, because that just positions you and your credit union for much success.
You know, we've talked a lot on the podcast about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and Jill's been on a few times talking about it, obviously. And that was, I would say this, like the more that I've learned over the past couple of years, the idea of diversity of thought, because we all have different backgrounds, experiences, upbringings, all of that, is makes so much sense, right?
And if we're agree.
Just hiring our friends or the who you know type of thing, it they probably think like you. That's probably why you're friends. So it's agree there. Something I wanted to circle back on there though is I think is very tough for younger leaders. A lot of the times we want to show how smart we are and that we can do everything, and a lot of the times I know I am very guilty of this, that like putting my head down and just doing it myself often seems like the easiest course. Is that something that, like, bringing in the people that are stronger than you in the areas that maybe is a weakness for you, is that something you've always done? Is that something, again, I guess that you learned along the way?
I think when I first came to FEPL back then, it was formerly Belco. When I first came here, there was only 5 of us. So, that was a culture shock alone, because I came from an $85 million credit union, and I'm like, where's the IT person? They're like, tag, you're it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Who's shoveling the walkway? That's you too.
Yes, exactly. So you get in the habit of doing everything because you have to, because there's limited resources. But as we started to grow and I started to see that my focus, as much as I could get on the strategic side, I had to let go. I had to let go of things and recognize that somebody's going to do it different. Doesn't make it right or wrong. It just means it's different.
Yep.
And so I give them the direction. I give them what's expected, and I kind of let them go. And I think that excites some of the young professionals, because I'm giving you direction, but this is you. I'm going to let you own it. But the end result is, I got your back. I'm here for you, but it's yours.
Oh, you are now. This is just a conversation between the two of us. We hired our first CEO, Lauren Culp, in September. So CEO Insight was something that David and I built, with our own hands, and to let go of that, a lot of that stuff, to go, oh no, it's Lauren's now.
It's hard.
She just shuts me in a closet to do the podcast and says, let me do my job. That's what you hired me for. So, and she's fantastic. So thank you for that. When you think back to earlier in your career, is there a mistake that you made? You've talked about mentoring now others, or is there that mistake that you see young leaders make over and over again?
I think sometimes we get in our own way.
Okay.
You know, you start thinking about things you can do or strategic directions you can take. And then sometimes you get so wrapped up in your idea, that you're not welcoming other insight and you're getting in your own way. You're just trailing through. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to take a step back and say it's not working. You get so committed to the idea that if it's not working, you just know it's working. It's going to work. I've heard many speakers speak of this. The hardest thing is to take the train off the tracks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And admit that it's not working. Let's try it a different way.
Try something. Yeah, I think that's always tough too when you're so like personally invested into it, right? You've put time, you've put money, you've put so much energy, and all of a sudden you're like, shut it down. Let's do something new. So yeah, that's good stuff there. Has there been a piece of advice or a life lesson that you received that you find yourself going back to over and over during your career?
I think it's more of in my second half of being in the credit union and getting more involved. I have a colleague from Eastern Pennsylvania. And when I was getting on the cross-state board and I was running for chair and I was on the foundation on the CFPB council, he said to me, and I remind myself of this, he said, don't lose sight of your credit union.
Okay.
So as I get involved and I continue to be involved, remember where my number one focus should be. Don't lose sight of your credit union. And, you know, he used to always tell me, I've seen so many people get involved on a national level and then their credit union starts to struggle and they're not there to bring it back on track. So don't lose sight of your credit union. So I remind myself of that, you know, when I decided to get back involved on the national level and on the CUNA board. And I said, okay, I got to remind myself of that. So I always do a gut check with my team here and say, how are we doing? I see the numbers, I see the financials, but how are we doing internally? Is the fact that I'm not here impacting us? And they'll be honest.
Yeah.
You know, we've done a lot of changes over the last 2 years and my presence is important. So yeah, I play that in my head. Don't lose sight of your credit union.
That sounds like you have a good team though too, who's willing to to hold you accountable as well. That's just the one.
And I don't know, it's because they don't want me in the office. They have more fun when I'm not here.
I love it. They're like, go be on a board.
Yeah, go ahead. You win here too much.
Isn't there a conference you should be speaking at or something?
Right.
So I think this ties in a way, it might even go back to even earlier in your career. Has there ever been that point where you just had the self-doubt, you know, like they kind of felt lost in the career? And if there was, like, how did you work your way through that?
I will tell you, towards the end of my time of serving on the cross-state board and as a chairman, my personal life started to unravel.
Okay.
You know, I was heading through a divorce. And I had a lot of self-doubt, a lot of loss. I felt, you know, I was doing so well professionally, I thought, and personally, I wasn't doing well. And as a woman, you're always told you can have it all, you can do it all. And that's a lot of pressure, because when my marriage started to fail, I felt like I failed. So I stepped back from being involved. So I didn't run for re-election for the cross-state board, and I just stepped back. And I did a lot of self-assessment. I started to take Fridays off in the summer and spend time with my youngest. I started to, you know, take ownership for my part in my marriage not working.
Yep.
And I started to focus on me and re-energize myself. And then let go of the negativity and focus on 18 years of marriage, the happy days, and I'm blessed with two beautiful daughters.
Two daughters, yep.
So, yeah, that was the struggle for me.
That's an interesting, I understand that struggle also. So, you know, I mean, but it's an interesting thing to be able to take a step back and have that, like, self-awareness of, like, okay, what does that the balanced life look like, I guess? You know, I can tell you, I know when I went through a divorce, my career was... See, you insight was taken off. Things were going well, you know, on one side, and you that very similar to where the other side, you're like, what just happened?
Right.
So that's something, but it is, once you come out the other side, it's a beautiful thing, right?
I would agree.
A couple of questions here that are newer to the show is, like, what does the typical work day look like for you as the CEO of the credit union? And what does the perfect work day look like? Which I'm sure.
I thought about that. I'm like, wow, if I could have the perfect work day, what would that look like?
Yeah.
I think a typical work day, you know, alarm goes off, 6 a.m., you get up. You know, I'm a music person. So Alexa, play 90s R&B, and I start jamming out. And, you know, my 16-year-old, we do our morning coffee run. I drop off for school. I come in. I sit down at my desk, get all set up. But then I also make my morning rounds. I go around and I say hello to everybody. How was your evening? So that starts my day off. And then I come in and I look at my lovely things to do list. And what things do I start attacking? But then the vendor calls, the emails, the members' feedback, my team coming in for support throughout the day. And then by the time I know it's 5 o'clock and it's time to go home. And then I take the laptop home, and then whatever strategic thoughts I have or products or services I want to research, I'm on the couch with a glass of wine and I'm doing it.
You're doing that. So the perfect day probably has more strategic thinking time in there, probably, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I get so engaged when my chief operations officer and I can spend a day and talk about 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. Where do we see ourselves and what do we want to do? And we don't always get that opportunity to do that because he's way involved in the day to day. And so that energizes me. When we can get that time, I get excited about it. That would be the perfect day.
I'm also with you on that one. It's great to have the space and the time to actually think, not just do the other stuff. So inside or outside your career, is there a moment of a accomplishment that, like, when you think about it right now, you just kind of smile? I'm like, I killed that. That was awesome.
I would say I have to be proud of the progression that our credit union has made under my leadership. I look at it and I say 18 million, 82 million, job well done. But I also think what the proudest moments I have is how we come through challenges. Internally, we've had, you know, unfortunately, we went through a violent robbery where one of my tellers were shot. So how did we come together that? How did I lead my team through that? How did I let them be there for me? So I look at that and I go, okay. And then, you know, a few years later, we lost an employee suddenly, you know, and how do I lead through that? And the fact that we came together and we supported one another and we're all still here and we have this bond that nobody can seem to shake. I think as a leader, it's easy to lead when times are wonderful.
Yep.
It's easy to lead, but it's harder to lead, but you grow more when times are not so wonderful.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel for you, but it sounds like, you know, how sometimes those tragedies, they can go either direction. I mean, after the fact, right? Like Amy Downs talked a lot about it when she was on the podcast too, is it can either bring everybody together almost like a family that you know you're there for each other, or sometimes people leave and they just can't get past it. So that's very cool. Thanks for sharing that. Before we move on to the last part of the show, it's just kind of a fun question. You have nothing on the calendar, which I know doesn't happen often for the CEOs out there. What passions do you have outside of credit unions? But, you know, what do you do to recharge?
I love music and I love to dance. So I've competed locally with our local Dancing with the Stars ballroom dancing. Now they have Westmoreland has talent, so I'm going to do some karaoke. So I love music and I love to dance.
Are you a singer also?
No, I'm not a singer, but I'm going to have fun with it.
Do you know the song you're going to sing?
I'm going to do it. My staff, my team's laughing at me, but I'm going to do Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Ah, that's fantastic.
I'm going to be upbeat and dancing. So that energizes me for sure. But a recharge is, I have two daughters. One is 25 and one is going to be 17. You know, last Sunday we had a mom and daughter date night, you know, so we went to the movies and we had dinner and we just spent time together. So that gets me recharged up.
Get you back. All right. So the final part of the show, part three, the rapid fire questions. The questions are rapid. Your answers do not have to be. So what was Maria like in high school? And do you remember the first time you got into memorable trouble?
You know, when I explained that I was very shy and I was a loner, my team looks at me as if I'm speaking a different language.
That's
but
it.
I was. We had, there were six of us. I was child number five. I was a mama's girl and I was a natural introvert. And yeah, you know, I was kind of a wallflower. I had my older brother who got all the attention and then there was me. And then, you know, in high school, you want to fit in. So I started hanging out with these girls and they said, we're going to skip school. I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to skip school. So I skipped school and then I got in school suspension. And my oldest brother just loved it because he was always in school suspension. He's like, Mom, did you know Maria got in school suspension?
So he told on you. That's so good. So do you still consider yourself an introvert?
Unless it's a credit union event.
That's
interesting because I can go to GAC, I can go to a local, my state convention, and I'm out, I'm talking, blah, blah, blah. I go to my daughter's basketball game, I'm way up in the bleachers by myself, cheering her on.
I am exactly the same way. I've said a million times, I am a introvert who plays an extrovert at credit union conferences. So, and it surprises everybody.
Yes,
and
they do. They go, really?
Jill's told everybody, she's like, Randy comes home from GAC and he pretty much just binge watches Netflix for about the same amount of time he was there. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. And Jill's the exact opposite. She's an extrovert. So she's like, we should go see more people. And I'm like, so anyways, sharing the background there. Most of us stumbled into a career into credit unions. It sounded like you took a summer job as a teller. What did you want to be when you were growing up?
When I first graduated from high school, I went to school for fashion.
Really? Okay.
My dream was I was going to live in New York City. And I was going to be a fashion designer or a buyer from one of the big major department stores and love it.
So the job at the credit union was just like a summer gig or what was the...
Well, I finished my fashion degree and I started working locally in retail. And then I met my now ex-husband. We got married. I had a daughter and retail, even though I loved it and I loved the merchandising and all that I was doing, the hours didn't work.
Yeah.
So I went back to school and got my bachelor's degree. And as I was finishing up my bachelor's degree, I went to the Career Center. And at that time, they posted it on the bulletin board.
Yep.
Summer teller for a local credit union. I'm like, banker's hours. That works.
That works for me.
And here I am today.
Oh, beautiful. Do you have any daily routines that if you just don't do it, your day feels off?
I would say it would be my jam session on my way to work. When I get, they always tell me they can hear me coming.
So I have to ask, you said 90s R&B. Is it a Pandora station? Do you have a station you listen to?
It's a Pandora station. And then if it's if it's my satellite in my car, I'm a little current. I listen to The Heat, who has a little bit of hip hop and R&B, and I'm singing and dancing and they're like, oh, Maria's here. I can hear her pulling up.
You can hear her coming. How long is the commute? How long do you get your pump up?
35 minutes.
Okay, so you got some time with the music. Now I'm very interested in this question. The random one. What's the best album of all time? That one you can listen to without skipping a song.
MJ, Thriller.
Thriller.
I'm a big Michael Jackson fan.
We're recording this, but the podcast that's coming out actually this weekend was also MJ Off the Wall. So Michael Jackson's had quite a few mentions from that question. Yeah. So I'm a reader. Jill and I have a stack of books in our house and a lot of them have been recommended to us. And that just keeps growing because of the podcast. So is there a book that either you've gifted others or that you know, over time or that you just think everybody should read?
Well, I've been thinking about that. I was recently gifted Freedom Writers from GG from the National Foundation. So I haven't had a chance to read that. Marie Smith gifted me Sowing Seeds. Yeah. I've read 75% of that. It is a good book, a life lessons book.
I appreciate you bringing it up because anytime we can link to it, I absolutely love it. So it's when he was on the podcast, that was like he was one of the very first guests, and it was because Jill was on a panel with him. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned that he was writing this, that he had just wrote this book for his family. And it was just, I was like blown away by it. And oh yeah, beautiful. We'll link to that too.
So when he sent it out to the CUNA board, I was all engaged. I'm like, so it's a very good book. It's life lessons. And once I finish that, I will pass that on to, you know, my emerging leaders here at the credit union.
Absolutely. As you've gotten older, what's become more important to you? And my favorite part of this question, what's become less important?
You know, I would say what's become more important is family. Not that family wasn't important before, but I always career, family. I'm coming to the end of my first and only term on the CUNA board. And the reason for that is because of my mom.
Okay.
My mom has health has taken a turn for, you know, there's some challenges. So she is moved in with me and my youngest daughter. So that's priority one. You only get one mom.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, I want to make sure that I can say that when she needed me, I'm there for her as this. When I needed her, she was there for me.
She was always there for you. That makes sense. Has anything become less important? Is it the career side or is it, I mean?
I think it proven myself to others. I think that you always felt that you had to prove yourself to others. And being young, you know, I said I was a loner and I said, you know, I was a natural introvert, but I also had a very low self-confidence in myself. So when Owen saw something in me, I was like, I didn't see it. And it took me a while to see it. But accepting myself for who I am and presenting that to the world.
That is a beautiful thing that I think it seems like only comes with age, right? So right. It's self-reflection, but it's a great place to get to. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. So there's a question I don't send. When you hear the word success, who is the first person that comes to mind?
I would say President Obama.
Tell me more.
I think success is, what I look at success is who you are morally and how you respond to challenges in life. And I think that as I've watched him over the years, and of course, I'm a big fan of Michelle Obama too.
Absolutely.
But as I watched them over the years and the challenges of being president, the challenges of raising a family in the presidency, and the critics and everything that he faced, he still stayed true to himself morally, and he still presented himself in a manner that made me proud to say he was the president of the United States. And just watching Michelle support and still be her own person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Still support him. So, yes, I am a fan. I'm waiting for him to be at the GAC. So
I know. Wouldn't that be amazing? He's the person, like, you know, that kind of question, like, if you could have lunch with one person alive or dead, right, or whatever. I want to, like, he's my guy. And it's because I'm just like, I'm so blown away by how, like, he's always just kept his cool and seems so, like, whatever was going on, guy was just kept his, you know, like he, I just blown away. Yeah, I'm with you there. That's awesome. I thank you again, Maria, for being on the show and sharing your story with us. The last question that I have for you is, do you have any final asks of our listeners or final thoughts that you'd like to share?
You know, what I always say here is be true to yourself and continue to inspire others. I think if you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, this is who I am, and the decision I've made is the best decisions because of the person I am, and you've passed that on to inspire others, then our time here, my time at the credit union, is well spent.
That is a perfect way to wrap up. We will link to everything we talked about in the show notes. What's the best way for people to reach out to you if they have additional questions? The LinkedIn, the Twitter machine, email. What's your poison, I guess, or preferred way?
LinkedIn and email. You can find me on LinkedIn at Maria Lavelle, and my email is mlavelle@feeplefcu.org.
Awesome. We will link to those as well. I thank you again for taking the time and being on the show today, and I hope you have an amazing day. And
thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks. Before we go, I'd like to give a big thank you to all of you, our listeners, for taking the time out of your busy day and spending some time with us. And once again, to thank Maria. This was just so much fun. And a big thank you to our sponsor, Co-op Financial Services. Make sure to click on their link in the show notes and see everything they have going on. Give them some love. Also, we are on all the podcast players out there, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Google Machines. We would appreciate if you would subscribe and leave us a 5-star ranking and maybe even a review on the good old Apple Podcast machine. It helps with the visibility of the show on all the platforms. And if you don't think we're worth the 5 stars, forget that I even asked, and just reach out to me and let me know how we can improve. I love to hear from everybody. So, and then don't forget also, as we wrap this up, about the See You Inside Experience podcast book list. It's your place to go to get your next book recommendations from the guests on our show, all in one place. You can find that in the show notes or just Google it. Thank you all again for listening, and have a great day.